Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
Oh, the good, the bad, and the dumb Friday. We're getting into the weekend with good NFL football and good of the good of the day. What is it, Ron?
Oh, we got a special one today. I think all three of these are probably some of the better stories we've had, which is perfect to cap off this week.
Sure.
But the good of the day. I actually have two of them for you because it is a Friday, and I feel like, you know, we deserve a little extra pat on the backs heading into the weekend. And no, Tony, no. Neither one of these goods is the fact that we could finally get a red carpet appearance out of Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift.
Right, okay.
Who both seem to be nominated for a People's Choice Award.
Ugh.
That's not any of the good. So the first good of the day. There is a Missouri couple, Tony, that recently celebrated, you ready for this? Their 80th wedding anniversary.
Oh, wow.
I feel like I never bring up anniversaries, but 80 years of marriage needs to be highlighted.
Is this like from like maybe a culture where like 12-year-olds used to marry each other?
Nope. They
got married when they're like 20 and they're both 100?
Yeah. Andrew and Bertha Kowalsik. They met in 1942 as students at the University of New Hampshire.
Oh, very nice.
They married in 1994, and they are now at the ages of 103 and 102, respectively.
They married when?
1944.
1944.
He actually, he was in World War II. He actually had to ask permission because he got married on a leave, and then his commander said, hey, you need to be back by, like, you know, Monday morning. Got married on a Saturday. He goes, well, it's my anniversary. He goes, all right, you can come in Wednesday morning.
All right. Very good. So is this one of those, are they saying things like, you know, the secret to 80 years of marriage is
they have it.
Lots of bourbon and sex.
Nope.
They're not doing,
because that would be fantastic. And no, that's,
yeah. Or, you know, when you hear somebody like, how did you live to be 110? Oh, I ate cheeseburgers every day and drank a lot of booze.
Yeah. That,
and you're like, what?
That wouldn't happen either.
No.
No. In fact, Bertha gave her secret to a successful marriage, which is never go to bed angry.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, that is kind of true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of bad. Always trying to hammer things out, even if it takes till 3 a.m.
Yeah, you build a stronger relationship that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I wish it was bourbon and sex. That would be fantastic.
Wouldn't it be? I mean, come on. It'd be great.
Honey!
Yeah, I know. How many men would take that article and go, hey, you want to live to be 100?
And be married to this guy for 80 years?
You want to be married to this guy for 80 years? Look at this couple. Look what their secret is. Wink, wink. Yeah, that'd be funny. you probably go, oh, God, 80 years.
80 years.
Who am I, Job? I got to put up with you for this long? What did I do in my life to deserve this?
Well, I think I did read somewhere he might be going blind. No, I'm just kidding.
That's great.
Kidding.
Congratulations.
80 years. I felt like that needed to be highlighted. That is a true milestone.
I wonder if he still like holds her hand and opens a door for her and brings her flowers.
I mean, they're in an adult living facility in Missouri now. But they seemed to be happy sitting next to each other, so I guess they got that going for them.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't shooting daggers at one another, like, oh, God, get this guy away from me.
Yeah, that's true. Good point. All right, congratulations to that lovely 80-year-old couple. 80-year anniversary couple.
80 anniversary.
Yep. What is the bad of the day?
No, so we got another second
good
for you. Now, this good might be bad for you, Tony, because I don't know. We've talked about this a lot. I still don't know the full story yet for you.
Okay.
All right. But as soon as I say it, I will be able to gauge your excitement because it was announced late last night that it's official that there will be a Top Gun 3.
Oh, very good. Okay.
They announced that the script is officially being written. It will once again star Tom Cruise, Miles Teller, Glenn Powell, everyone is coming back.
This really shouldn't be surprising because the last movie made a boatload of money.
Yeah, it's not. I didn't think it was surprising at all.
So, but the reason why
because I don't know where we left off. I remember the last time I talked to you about this, you still had not yet seen the movie.
I have not yet seen Maverick, Top Gun. It's a shame. You know what I found? I used to enjoy my afternoons if I had a free afternoon just to rent a movie, watch a movie, and now I'm not, and I don't know why I'm not. I'm not willing to be confined for 2 hours, and I don't know why that I've lost my luster. Like, I'll see a movie and I'll go, do I really want to be here? And I'll look at the clock. I'll go, okay, so like, let's say it's like 4 o'clock. I'm done for the day. I go upstairs and I go, oh, you know what? I can rent that movie. That's pretty awesome. And then I look at my watch. I go, okay, do I want to be sitting here until 6:30?
No, I get that.
And I go, okay, then means 6:30. Then, and then I got to, okay, no, I don't know. You know, and then I do that and it kind of breaks me. And I go, no, I'd rather just watch some stupid TV shows.
I will say this. I mean, if you were a fan of the original Top Gun, this one is a fun ride.
Well, you know what was funny? My wife and I rewatched Top Gun. Well, her for the first time, but I rewatched it like when that movie was coming out.
Right.
Like during the pandemic, when it was coming out, I remember going, hey, I haven't seen Top Gun since I was a kid. Like let's like I'm going to watch it. She goes, yeah, I've never seen it. I said, let's watch it. So we watched it. You know, it was so 80s. It was so cool. So awesome.
It is.
It was an era where Tom Cruise was the best at anything his character did.
Yep. No, like, back it up a little bit. He always had a little bit of struggle.
Right, but
with something.
He had like a gift for whatever it is his character was like known to do.
His struggle was usually his own confidence.
Right. Like he was the best bartender, the best pool player, the best fighter pilot, the best NASCAR driver. Like whatever movie he was in,
best
he had like
high
a
school
god
con man.
Yeah, okay, right. Yeah, he had the natural gift to be the most excellent at that, and then his character had other ills. Yeah. I will say this about Tom Cruise. I remember Siskel and Ebert, and I can't remember which one said it, but they actually made a point that I always remembered about the movie Rain Man, and that Tom Cruise actually was the one that deserved the Academy Award.
Yeah, I get
it. Because Dustin Hoffman didn't have to change at all. He just said he had to find that characteristic of Raymond and stay with it the entire movie. But Tom Cruise's character was the one that had a complete arc.
He had to
struggle and had to change. And
That's a great point.
He was the one that went from A personality to B personality, and the process in the middle where he goes, this guy is a ticket to getting something out of my father, to I love my brother and I don't want to lose him. And that arc was real acting, whereas Dustin Hoffman did a good job of playing a character that was out of personality, but he had to do it. He just did it the same throughout
the
movie.
And you know, and to that point, like Dustin Hoffman, the character, you realize the brilliance of Dustin Hoffman within the first 10, 15 minutes of you seeing him. And then, you know, then you just, you know, I guess it's because he morphed into that. You couldn't see Dustin Hoffman anymore, but I agree. I think it's a great thing with Tom Cruise. Cause at first, remember that? I mean, he just couldn't stand it. He was like, this is BS.
Are these actors like Tom Cruise and, I don't know, Nicholson. I mean, anybody that's has like 50 years of just always being in blockbusters, always make, they must be making a deal with some sort of supernatural power, right? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Hollywood, does Hollywood really
Tom Cruise
just allow
is now.
You to be good like this for 40 years?
I would say Tom Cruise is, because I think as he's gotten older, he's gotten more riskier with his stunts.
Okay.
Because he does all his own stunts.
I'm going to age.
Like 95% of his stunts.
But I'm going to age myself here, okay? I went to school where I was with little teenage girls that thought Tom Cruise was the cutest thing in the world. And those girls are now grandmothers.
Yeah.
That's how long
remember that.
He's been a megastar.
And he's jumping out of planes doing, what is that, the angel dive or whatever it is?
Yeah.
I can't remember, or the Halo jump, where it's just like, you know, screaming. I mean, he's making a movie where part of the movie is
going to
be filmed
in space. Well,
you're
being more practical. I'm being more theoretical. Like, you're saying the reason he's successful, he does all this stuff. I'm saying, does the entity of Hollywood really allow you to be a megastar this long? There's no new Tom Cruise.
I'm agreeing with you that he's, you know, that there is something fishy out there that Tom Cruise must have signed.
Right?
Like he signed a deal with the devil, because I'm saying at his age, he's doing all these stunts and nothing happens to him.
Right. That's exactly right. Like that's the thing. And
that's what I'm bringing up.
Like everybody goes to see Tom Cruise movies. It doesn't matter. Generations. It's not us going, oh, I just want to see
kids
that
love
guy.
Them.
Kids love
they
them.
They love the Mission Impossible movies.
They can't get enough
of those Mission Impossible movies.
Exactly. And it feels weird where I'm like, yeah, I remember when I was a kid, I couldn't see Cocktail because I was too young.
Exactly.
Like, you know what I mean? It's bizarre. Right? I don't know. There's something, I don't know, maybe my parents felt the same way about Jack Nicholson when he was in, like, As Good As It Gets or A Few Good Men.
Right.
When they were like, oh, my God, I remember he was in
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
And the Two Jakes, Chinatown.
Yeah.
Maybe they felt the same way in the 90s when he was making those kind of movies.
And here he is as a gangster in The Departed.
Right, exactly. So maybe that's the way it just goes.
Maybe.
I guess.
I mean, there were older actors for us, I guess. I mean,
Clint Eastwood?
He's in The Mule. He signed the mega deal.
Yeah, Cry Macho. And people are like, I remember Two Mules for Sister Sarah. Yeah, I guess you're right. All right, we will head to the Bad and the Dumb coming up next as we continue on Wake Up.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right. Ron, we should charge for the off the air comments.
If there was a way I could record it, that would be our conversation. That conversation we just had would be the highest rated thing we've ever done.
Good times. Talking about bartending and what cocktail did to the perception of bartending.
It really is, though. I mean, because I've seen, like I said to you, start off when we started talking, I've seen that movie, you know, maybe a half a dozen times, and I don't know why it's entertaining.
Yeah, I don't either.
Except for the fantasy that it portrays.
Right. Of course.
And I think that's the only reason why Cocktail is so entertaining, because we sit there and go, God, what a life that must be.
Yeah. I remember watching Cocktail going, that's what I'm going to do for a living. I'm going to flip bottles in a club and work all night and party all evening.
Yeah.
That will be my life.
Sleep in.
Yep. I'll go to work at 4 and party all night and be a celebrity bartender. That was what, like, I was like 15 when it came out.
Yeah. And then when you're tired of the city bar scene,
yeah,
you can head to an island.
Head to an island where they'll just gobble you up. They'll just be like, oh, this is more hedonism than you can handle. That was Tom Cruise and Cocktail. All right, what is the bad of the day?
The bad of the day, Tony, is that yesterday truly was an end of an era.
Oh, okay.
Do you know?
But not what we were talking about all day.
No, I'm not
yesterday.
Talking about Belichick or Saban or Carroll, but what I'm referring to, Tony, fruit stripe gum.
I saw this. This made me, like, gasp out loud.
Yeah, so.
And I haven't bought fruit stripe gum in, like, years.
Of course not. Why would you?
Right.
I mean, this is what I wrote down. After 50 years of delighting kids and adults for roughly 30 to 40 seconds before it lost all flavor, Ferrara Foods is shutting the fruit stripe down. So no more fruit stripe packets of gum or packs. It was great. I mean, you got a huge pack of gum.
You did. And you're right. It did last 2 seconds.
Yeah.
It was hardly any lasting flavor whatsoever.
I mean, but when that flavor first hit you, oh, God, it was great.
But how can the world turn down free tattoos, collect all 10, wet them and wear them?
Mm-hmm.
How fun was that when you were a kid?
Yep.
It was nothing more fun than, like, licking a tattoo and putting it on your hand.
Listen,
awesome.
There were two gums that I bought at the regular. One was Fruit Stripe because it was a bigger pack.
Right.
Right. And you got, I mean, it was pretty much the same price as a pack of gum, except you got more. And Bazooka Joe.
Bazooka Joe, yeah.
I always bought Bazooka Joe. I love getting those little comics.
I one of the reasons I liked Fruit Stripe was, like, if you bought grape Hubba Bubba, you just got 5 pieces of grape.
Yeah.
But this was lemon, orange, cherry. Like, you got a pack ahead. A couple of lemons,
watermelon.
A couple of oranges, yeah, a couple of watermelons, whatever it is. They gave you, here's a variety. I get it. It's quick. It's easy. You're going to be spitting this thing out pretty quick. But you can go from orange to lemon in one pack. Can Hubba Bubba do that? Can Bubblicious do that? No.
No.
They cannot.
The flavors were watermelon, cherry, lemon, orange, and peach.
Yeah, that was great.
And Tony, you're wrong on one end, right? You didn't spit it out. You just added another piece.
You just added a piece to the growing.
The growing gum.
You're right. Exactly.
Until it got too big, and then you started over.
That's exactly right. That is amazing. I mean, did they, probably didn't give a main reason, like a sales down or is anything.
No, that's pretty much the reason why. No one was buying it anymore. I mean, you know, they Ferrara Foods has a bunch of other candies that they're focused on. You know, they're the makers of Red Hots and Runts and Gobstoppers and Pixie Sticks, Fireball, you know, Juju Fruits and things like that. So they make all those. They just said, you know, this is all based on consumer preferences and purchasing patterns.
When I was younger in college and I used to wait tables, I had some fruit stripe or some gum because I used to make the point that if people could take a smoke break, I could take a gum break.
Yeah, so that makes sense.
The waitresses and servers would be in the back taking a cigarette break during dead time. And I'm like, well, I'm going to go back and chew some gum. And I would get Hubba Bubba or I'd get fruit stripe. A lot of time it was fruit stripe. So, yeah, that's I really did. Makes me guess. That is a lost part of my youth, fruit stripe gum. Oh, man.
Yeah, it was always a quick part of your youth, but it's a lost part of
your youth.
Yeah, very
much so. It's a lost part of the youth. Yeah, you can't. The problem with fruit stripe is you can't sell it to your children. You can't say, this is great.
No.
They go, I don't know.
My
Dad.
Mom tried to do that with me once when they revived, what was it, like blackjack bubblegum and cloves bubblegum and stuff like that. And she's like, oh, this was great. You know, who wouldn't want to chew black licorice in gum form?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, you know, I do like black licorice, but in small amounts. I don't want to keep sitting there and just keep chewing and chewing and chewing and getting nothing but black licorice the entire time. Or what was the other gum, like beech nut or whatever?
Beech nut, yeah, stuff like that. Yeah, you know, the old stuff.
There are old
candies. Sometimes you can still find in like an old-timer's candy place.
That's where I believe that you will now find Fruit Stripe.
Yeah.
Because gum doesn't really go bad,
go bad, no.
So, I mean, you know, that's who's going to be having the gum.
There's always a video of somebody going, I'm opening up this 1977 pack of baseball cards and I'm going to eat the gum.
Yeah, that one might be bad.
I'm like, yeah. I don't know if you want to do that. It doesn't have an unlimited shelf life. Yeah.
I think that gum might be bad.
Wax pack for 40 years. I think you might want to slow down, Chief.
I would rather go for a 40-year-old pack of Fruit Stripe than a 40-year-old than a 10-day-old pack of baseball.
All right.
Gum.
If you're going to if you give me a pack of Fruit Stripe after the apocalypse, I'm pretty sure sealed in its individual wrapper and then sealed in an even more impenetrable wrapper will protect it.
Yeah.
But a waxed closed baseball card, I wouldn't be touching the gum.
God, you remember biting into those gum? It's like,
they were terrible then. When it was
snapped.
Quote, like, unquote, fresh.
Yeah, it snapped off. It was like, it just broke apart like a cracker in your mouth, and you had to keep chewing to kind of bring it back together, to glue it back together.
Exactly.
And there was any flavor.
I literally remember my father telling me when I was a kid collecting baseball cards, and I remember him saying, you know, baseball cards were really just the thing you got for buying gum. Like, Topps was a gum company. And then you would just find a way. How do we sell our gum? Well, just put a baseball card or two in there. And then baseball cards developed out of that. They weren't a baseball card company first that added gum. They were a gum company that added baseball cards, and then the industry shifted. And I remember eating the gum going, nah, it can't possibly be true.
Yeah.
I'm like, this gum is terrible. Why would anybody buy this to get that?
The only thing I can think of is that the baseball card itself maybe dried out the gum.
Maybe, I don't know. Oh, and yeah, and then once baseball card collectors went, you can't have a card with gum stain on it. That's when they're like, oh,
so
shoot.
So long, gum.
Yeah, my Paul Molitor rookie card is ruined because it has gum wax on the back of it. What a shame. I guess I won't be going to college after all. Yeah. All right. What is the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day. Tony, we talked about this yesterday, that people were leaving flowers and other gifts at Nick Saban's statue at the University of Alabama.
He didn't die either.
He didn't die. But I thought a writer looked over at the photos, some of the photos, and he compiled a list of what he saw in the photo, which you can zoom in and look at as well. And I thought we can go over some of the items that were on this list.
Okay.
So, I mean, yeah, obviously flowers, right?
Right.
Crimson, red, and white pom-poms.
Not bad.
Coca-Cola bottles and cans.
Okay.
I'm assuming there's a story with this one, but a lot of Little Debbie's oatmeal cream pies.
Yeah, is there something about him liking those?
I think there's something about that where he likes that.
Okay.
Someone did leave a Get Well Soon balloon.
Get Well Soon. That's pretty cool. I like that idea.
Yeah, but he's not dying. He's not sick.
I like that notion.
Then we get more to the weird items, which is somebody left a shiny gold can of Four Loko. Four Loko being an alcoholic drink.
Okay.
A slice of pizza was left behind.
All right, is there another reason for that? Did Saban say something about pizza one time about his matchup with, like, Missouri?
There was a decoy duck.
All right.
I don't know what that is. A Trojan condom. So happy retirement there,
I guess,
Nick. Some cash, which I don't think he needs.
Probably didn't stick around long.
No, there is a Target gift card, which...
Okay, this is getting silly. Why are they doing this?
I don't know. There were some empty bottles of wine. I don't know what the empty bottles stand for, but my favorite, I think, on the list was a bucket of pickles.
Does Nick Saban like, I like pickles. Pickles are good. Before a game, I like
I have
three
to assume,
or four of them.
Yeah, I have to assume they all... means something. Like, I understand the Coca-Cola thing.
He's always had a bottle
always.
Next to him all the time. That's kind of the staple.
Yeah,
of
I'm
Nick
looking
Saban
at him. I'm looking at a press conference right now. They're just re-airing an old press conference right now. There is a bottle of Coca-Cola right in front of him.
Got it. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
But yeah,
so we get that. Don't get the pizza.
I don't get the pizza. I don't get the duck. I mean, I guess does that represent Oregon? or am I thinking too football
Dan
related?
Lanning? Getting Dan Lanning?
Well, that's already been Nick's name.
That might have been the sacrifice to the altar to get Dan Lanning.
Well, then what's the sacrifice to the altar of the Trojan condom?
Lincoln Riley?
Steve Sarkisian?
Steve Sarkisian? Lane Kiffin?
See, this is us thinking this way, and it could just be simply like, hey, man, you're retired now. Have some sex.
Or it could be, I'm here. I got to leave something. What's in my wallet that I can
exactly.
sacrifice? There you go. Target gift card and a condom.
And some cash.
And some cash.
But a bucket of pickles.
Go.
That one, I don't get the bucket of pickles.
So the altar of Nick Saban. Holy cow.